Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. Today, I talked to David about his plans for OAS and their future plans for growth and also their recent refresh of their brand. Welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. So I wanted to get a bit of an understanding of your career to date and your journey and how you've ended up in the role you are today with OAS.
Sure. Well, firstly, thanks for having me. I feel a bit honoured, actually, to be arriving on the Nui Tech podcast. So avid listener myself, so it's fantastic to be on, which is excellent. I suppose my background is has always been in that sort of commercial space. Back in that sort of more a finance and accounting type stream, I suppose, but have now found my way into the CEO role at OAS, which has been awesome as well. So, but no, I started, I suppose, I'm a Maitland boy through and through. So I've for my career, I've always either travelled to Newcastle or up the valley, up to the Hunter Valley. But yeah, I started back in, I can't remember the dates. I'm not even going to try with the dates, but back when I did my traineeship. So when I came straight out of school, I did a trainee accountancy. I took a trainee accountant's job, at Club Phoenix. So part of the West Group, which is, funny enough, one of our major clients.
That's
at
great.
OAS as well.
Funny, so it's kind of,
the circles sort of
I've
come right around.
I've got one of those with NIB. NIB was my first job out of school and now they're a client.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it's crazy. But, so I spent 4 years there doing my traineeship. And then I moved on. I've worked at Newcastle Entertainment Centre for about 10 years as well in various finance roles there and up through the finance management role. But I've also worked into mining services as well. So I spent a little bit of time with CCI Pope, who are non-destructive testers.
And they were bought by?
They were CCI International, I think it was called. And it could have been, it could have had another iteration since then. Also with Pegasus as well, which has had obviously fantastic success recently all over the news. So, they've done really well. And then I've had a little bit of time with an insurance builder at RPF Building. Spent some time there. Then here I am, OAS. Yeah.
So after Pegasus, I know that you joined Life Without Barriers, which is a very large organisation in the not-for-profits sector, and that was the CFO role at the time?
Yeah, I started off actually in a finance role and then I moved relatively quickly into the CFO role there. But Life Without Barriers was a huge part of my life. They're a for-purpose sort of organisation, which resonated really well with me, and but it was a large role, so a national role. They're a massive organisation now. They were, I thought, massive at the time.
So you would have had about 8,000 people?
About 8,000 employees now, when I joined, I think they were about 250 mil. I think when I left, they hadn't quite hit the $500 million mark, but I'm pretty sure they've well and truly exceeded it now. So that was an awesome time, but demanding role, but so rewarding as well.
And what did you enjoy most about that role?
Look, I think the fact that you felt like some of the work that you were doing was not just about the wage and the job, it was actually providing services to the community as well. So obviously there's a lot of politics involved with government funding, so some of that's rewarding, some of it's not so rewarding. but at the end of the day, to know that you were impacting people's lives and in a positive way, that's even if it was from the back office necessarily, not necessarily always at the front line.
Everyone's contributing to that purpose. I know they're a great organisation, lots of great people there.
Yep, super.
Great. And so you sort of dabbled a bit in tech and then sort of a bit more sort of in the enterprise space. What attracted you to this opportunity with OAS?
Yeah, so I've known OAS for probably 20 of the 30 years or so that it's been going. So I've known Tony and Craig, the two directors, probably for that long as well. But it was back in the Newcastle Entertainment Centre days when I first came across them. And I think probably what struck me at that time was just their customer service ethos, their attention to what the customer needed and wanted. And they just realised so quickly how urgent things necessarily were. So I still remember back in the Pasha Bulka flood days, we got about a metre of water through the entertainment centre.
Wow.
And they were there the next morning we had to get Disney on Ice set up, I think, of all things. so we had ice water. Floors to get ice. Down. Yeah, exactly, more water. But we had to house, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 people in the arena as well at the same time. And they were there, you know, our phones were down, our file server had flooded, everything. So, but they got us up and running. So it was that sort of mentality that I think probably attracted me to them. And I came across them in the Pegasus days as well when I was up the valley, so.
Good.
Mm.
And so what was the remit of your role when they first hired you to take on the role of CEO?
Yeah, sure.
What do you have to achieve for them?
Yeah, look, I think part of it was to try and bring a bit more structure, a bit more governance to the role. The guys have grown the business substantially, particularly over the last 5 years. And I think that was getting to the stage where they were trying to be business owners as well as business developers, as well as HR experts, as well as finance people. So I think they got to the stage where they needed to have someone sort of do the day-to-day. And it's the whole, I suppose, work on the business, not in the business too much. Mm-hmm. So, they've been able to, I hope, move back a little bit and to sort of take that helicopter view a bit more. They're still actively involved in the business. They still do a lot of sort of business development type sales, account management type stuff, which is what they really like to do as well. They like to get out in front of the customers all the time. So,
good. Hmm. And so you've been steadily growing.
Hmm.
What can you tell us about that growth and some of the customers that you're working with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the last 5 years has been probably their most substantial growth. They made a decision 5 years ago to sort of move to that cloud-based hosting type arrangement.
Yeah.
And so that's where our Minder product was actually born.
It's one of your key products?
Yeah. Our hosting service is actually probably the key, along with our communication services. So back at that five-year mark, we sort of invested heavily into that infrastructure and into creating our own MPLS system. And that enabled us to then sort of own the full, the full gambit from the communications right through to the hosting side of things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what sort of size businesses do you normally support in terms of your clients?
Yeah, so we're mainly small to medium-sized businesses that we're mainly servicing, so not so much the enterprise-type customers. Yeah. So anywhere between sort of 10 seats and 250-type seats is probably what we're mainly aimed at. So
for the audience that may not know what Minder is, can you explain what Minder product is?
Yeah, sure.
And what your plans are?
Yeah, sure. Minder essentially is our hosted server solution. So it's essentially the cloud. A lot of people hear about the cloud, and that's what it is. I suppose behind all the smoke and mirrors, our data, our infrastructure sits in two data centers down in Sydney that are both replicated. So, if one goes down for whatever reason, whether it's a power outage or whatever, all the data can swing across to another, to the other data center. Yeah.
So can you talk to us about some of the data centers that you've got in Sydney and the security around that? Because that's obviously a hot topic in the cloud infrastructure space.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so we're in the Equinix data centers down in Sydney. One based in Silverwater and one based in the city, and they've got their government grade type data centers, so they've got all sorts of security gates that you need to get through in order to go anywhere near the actual servers themselves. And they've got all the temperature controlled stuff, which a lot of those data centers necessarily do, but for us it was just that extra level of security that we wanted to be able to have.
Good. I watched the video on your website, so I saw big fans.
Yep.
Cool them down.
Yeah, there's massive generators, there's all sorts of things to make sure those things sort of stay up all the time. But as I mentioned before, so when if one was to go down for any particular reason, it's all backed up in our other site.
That's
great. And we have that ability just to ramp up our clients so that they have no sort of outages at all. So
fantastic. Great. Okay. So the Minder Cloud infrastructure is one of your key products. Can you tell us about your plans for that? And there's some upgrade plans I believe.
Yeah, there is. So we've already done our first upgrade. We call it Minder 2.0. So it was funny because I just arrived at OAS and I think I arrived in the February of 2020.
Yep.
And about 6 weeks later, that thing called COVID hit. And so I kind of...
ruined everyone's
Yeah, it kind of was a bit tricky to navigate through that. But we got through it and, you know, the team were really supportive. So worked with an awesome team. Everybody just dug in. But at the same time, we were due to have an infrastructure upgrade. So we moved from a... what they call a flex pod system,
right,
into a hyperflex system with Cisco as well. So so that upgrade was a sizable investment, and sort of in the middle of COVID, most people kind of bunker down and count their pennies and make sure that they're going to be able to get through.
Yeah.
I suppose the guy's entrepreneurial type spirit came out, and they knew they had to upgrade.
Perfect time to do it.
Yeah, strategically it just made sense for us to do that. And we had a little bit of downtime, I wouldn't say a lot of downtime, to be able to actually focus on that upgrade. So we've done that, and now we're at the stage where we've almost grown so much that we actually need to upgrade again.
Yeah, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, our storage and our capacities are starting to get the stage where we need to go again.
Yeah. And so what are the plans around that?
Yeah, so it's a lot of the time it's just it's about just procuring the actual hardware that's, mm-hmm, that's got to be sourced. We've got to make sure our network links are going to be able to cope with the capacity.
Yeah.
And then pretty much going down to our data centers. So our data centers are in Sydney, and loading the infrastructure in and configuring it and making it happen.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you think the unique selling proposition is for OES?
Yeah, look, I think
competitors.
Yeah, compared to, I suppose, other managed service providers, our unique part, I think, is the communication side of it. So other competitors are already, I suppose, hosted service providers.
Yep.
But they don't always do the communication links. So we're a reseller through AAPT.
Yep.
And so we're able to provide NBN services, fast fiber services,
right,
which means that we kind of own that full chain and we take control of it.
Mm.
And so when something goes wrong, we're responsible to sort of fix the whole lot of it. So,
yeah. Great. It's fantastic. So can you tell us about the recent refresh of your branding and logo? And I know that you've invested in some marketing as well. So can you talk to us about those plans?
Yeah, we have. Really importantly, we needed to give our brand, I suppose, a bit of a refresh. Over the years, over the last probably 3 or 4 years, we kind of confused our brand just a little bit. Our Minder product was sometimes pushed out as more of our leading brand as such, whereas obviously OIS technology, all people know us as OIS, and so that's what we needed to be able to bring further forward. So we went through a really rigorous process around that, and spent a bit of marketing dollars around making sure that we got the right process in place.
Yeah.
I think we've come up with, I think, a really clean, neat brand. We're just in the process now of changing our cars over. We'll do uniforms, we'll do all those sorts of things as part of the process. But
the website's been done and all the marketing material.
Absolutely.
Has been refreshed.
Yeah. We're going to do another brand new website. So we've kind of reskinned the website for now, but it's going to be fantastic. So we're really proud of it.
Yeah. Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great news.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your team and culture at OAS. I know that you've had fairly good retention and you're looking at growing your team further. What are some of the skills and attributes and softer skills that you look for in a new hire? I know you've mentioned customer service.
Mm.
What else do you look for?
Yeah, look, I think a willingness to learn, I think, is probably a big thing. We try and make sure the engineers that we do have are absolutely part of the client journey, if you like, and part of that customer experience. So we want them to put themselves in the shoes of the customer. One of our core values is acting like an owner. Mm-hmm. So we want them to act like the owner of that business that they're dealing with. So
take accountability.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're struggling with at the moment, Linda, as you're well aware, is recruitment. So it's kind of really hard to get I suppose experienced, skilled staff in Newcastle alone. We're having to go further afield in terms of Sydney and other places to try and actually get that skilled staff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a short-term issue that we've got, but so we want to solve it for the longer term. And so part of that is to try and onboard trainees. We've currently got a couple of trainees.
This is your graduate program, the Minder Academy.
Our Minder Academy, that's right. So as they come on, we support them obviously through any TAFE processes that if they need to continue to get their accreditations there, we support them through that. And then we put them through our own internal product courses to make sure that they actually got a career path when they come with to OAS. Mm. We see that as a huge benefit. It helps obviously the customers and ourselves, but also helps the graduates, if you like, progress their careers.
Yeah, and get opportunities, because I know that that's the highest age group of unemployment at the moment, in the Hunter especially.
Yeah, and especially in a tech world, I think it's kind of almost crazy that we have so many people who are so technically savvy these days on mobile phones and computers, yet there's such a skill shortage in the IT space. So part of our sort of charter, I suppose, is to try and get those people through the various levels within our organisation, right up to a specialist level. So if they wanted to, specialise in data centres or in networks or in cybersecurity, so there's lots of different paths that they can choose, and we're more than happy to support them through that.
Mm. So your most of your senior engineers are more sort of generalists, or they specialise in certain areas, do they?
Yeah, as they go up, they tend to specialise. And so we've got a couple of people who look after our data centre. We've got a guy who manages our whole network. And obviously they've got understudies, and we're trying to bring those people along as well. That's kind of how it works.
And so with your Minder Academy graduate program, how many sort of graduates can you take on a year?
We've only just kicked it off, and so we've probably just started with a couple to start with. But I think there's a potential for that to grow, certainly next year as well. The two we've got are going superb.
Excellent.
They've got really good communication skills already. They've had previous jobs where they're dealing with the public, and so they're, you know, at times when they have tricky conversations, they know how to handle those conversations as well.
Yeah, good. And I know that we sort of touched on the Minder Academy. What about more senior staff? Do you support them with certifications?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's we're generally a Cisco house, so we follow the Cisco certifications. So we support people through their CCNAs and some of those other specialised type accreditations as well. Yeah, so that's part of, we'd be crazy not to support them in those sorts of things.
Yeah, good. Mm. And so everyone sort of fairly much works in the office full time, or they're out sort of on client sites. Is there any other benefits that you offer?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think one of the things which I was surprised at, it's probably a little Google-like, but we've obviously got a lovely office, particularly in Newcastle.
Overlooking the beach.
That's fantastic. We're super lucky to be up there on the beach. So, but we offer our staff free gym, as well as lunches every
gym
day.
Memberships.
And all that sort of stuff
well.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, we try and make it as, and obviously coffee. Our tech people love their coffee. So there's coffee machines and all that sorts of stuff as well. Just those little add-on benefits,
lunches,
I suppose.
And gym memberships,
People don't necessarily expect it, but they love it.
Yeah, very good. Speaking of education, what education path did you take earlier in your career, and would you choose that path again?
Interesting question. Would I choose it again? Look, I think so I did a Bachelor of Commerce at Newcastle Uni and then went ahead and did my CPA, Certified Practicing Accountants program.
Yep.
And I've also done the Australian Institute of Company Directors, so I'm a graduate there as well. Would I choose that path again? I think it gave me a great grounding from a commercial sense. So, and the skills are very, very transferable across industries. So, I've worked for communication companies, I worked for not-for-profits, mining services companies, tech companies, entertainment centres in the venue hire industry.
Yep.
So that's been fantastic from an experience point of view. You don't kind of get pigeonholed. Mm. And it helps you, I suppose, learn so much more about other industries.
And businesses, and you can apply that to other sectors.
Yeah. Would I be an accountant again? Jury's out. Jury's out. Not 100% sure. But, look, I wouldn't change anything. I've had a very fortunate, very lucky career to date. So,
good. So what advice would you give to young students wanting to start a career in technology? What path would you recommend for them?
Yeah, sure. So, look, the TAFEs and universities do great programs and give you the basics definitely around networking. But I suppose, you know, my advice would be try and work within a MSP environment, a managed services provider environment to start with, because you get a very good broad section of experience. Yeah. So the enterprise side, I suppose, is more about one network, you know, everybody does things the same way sort of thing. Whereas an MSP gives you a broad cross-section. There's so many different businesses set up, completely different sizes, different yep, absolutely. So some are hosted, some are on-prem servers, some are, you know, different software products. You get a greater, you know, breadth of experience. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
fantastic. And do you guys use productivity tools at work?
Yeah, we do. We've got a full PSA, so it kind of, it's like a CRM, I suppose. It runs all of our ticketing systems, and that helps, you know, the way that the technician actually needs to work on a day-to-day basis. So sort of everything gets laid out for the engineers. But internally, I suppose, you know, we use Trello to help try and organise ourselves in terms of some of our mini projects that we have. Keeping of our list of things to do. But certainly nothing more advanced than that just yet. The PSA tool's got its own project management module, and so it gets used extensively now as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's talk about you, David. Let's talk about your what you'd like to do in your spare time. I know you've got a family. So
yeah,
tell
I have
us a bit about you outside of work.
Three awesome kids and an awesome wife. So the kids are kind of starting to get to the age where they're now finishing school. I suppose so much of our time over the last 15 years, maybe longer, has been around kids sport. So
that story.
Yeah, the kids did really well at their sport, so we traveled all around the state.
Good. What sports were they into?
Cricket and soccer mainly. So and Ava plays netball as well, so so that's kind of starting to drop away a little bit, so we're getting more
weekends back
a little bit. Yeah, so we've just done some house renovations.
Nice. And do you listen to any great podcasts at all?
Of course, I listen to the Newey Tech podcast, top of the list. You paid me to say that. No, but look, I've got a couple others. So I love the Howie Games.
What's that?
Howie Games is Howie's the commentator of Fox Sports.
Okay.
Does the cricket, does AFL and lots of other things.
Okay.
But he gets really good sort of elite athlete guests on board.
Yeah, good.
So they're fantastic to listen to, those ones. There's a podcast called Curveball, which is a leadership type podcast that talks about leaders who have had to experience difficulty and how they've sort of got their way through that, endured
that
it.
Is that an American based
podcast? I think it's Australian. Yeah, I don't think it's American.
I'll have to write that down.
Yeah, no, it's a really good one. I love the TED Talks. The TED Talks are always
good to listen to.
They're sort of quick and snappy, helpful for the, you know, the drive into work from time to time. So, they're probably the main ones.
Yeah, good. And is there any mentors or business leaders that you've met during your career that you still stay in touch with and get advice from and bounce things off?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suppose I've got great respect for the two that I work with at the moment, in Tony and Craig. So from an entrepreneurial point of view, certainly those guys. But Claire Robbs from LWB, my time there, she's amazing to be able to, I suppose, deal with the politics and run such a large organisation, and she's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, she's fantastic, isn't she? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So, she's been a huge influence on my career.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. And if you could give yourself, younger self, some career advice, what would that be?
I think probably don't sweat the small stuff. I think when you're younger, you tend to, well, I tended to anyway, ruminate on things and sort of just have, I don't know, probably worry about the small stuff way too much. Try and get back to the bigger picture.
I can relate to that.
I think just don't sweat that small stuff, I think would probably be my best advice.
We're not brain surgeons at the end of the day.
No one's gonna die. Yeah, that's right. And it's very relevant. I mean, that sort of stuff is, you know, got some friends now going through some things, and you know, just with their health, and you sort of think, at the end of the day,
taking time for your health and taking time for your family is really important.
Yeah, and I think COVID sort of helped with some of that sort of rebalancing of that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, a little bit. I've spoken to a few people that it's actually gone the other way for them, because it's hard to put a line in the sand between work and home. And yep. I know that that's something that I'm working on myself.
Yeah. It can tend to blend if you're at home all the time. But I suppose, you know, I'm a little bit the opposite in terms of we've consciously gone back to the office. We have a lot of collaboration that happens at the office.
Yep.
So, you know, I try to, as much as possible, even though you always think about things when you're at home, you try and keep that barrier up as much as possible.
So where can people find you if they want to get in touch and talk about the services that OAS provide?
Yeah, sure. Obviously our website's there. There's an inquiry area.
OAS.com.au.
That's the one. And obviously I'm on LinkedIn as well, so people can hit me on LinkedIn at any stage as well. Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you so much. It was really good to see you today.
You
and
too.
I've obviously followed your career. I know we've spoken earlier in the Life Without Barrier days when you were there.
Yeah.
So it's good to see you end up in a great spot and doing great things at OAS.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me on.
You're welcome.
Great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New in Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.newintechpeople.com.au. Thank you.